These are men with reputations,
sure,
and jobs and families.
I understand it now, too.
Things like that.
But I didn't at the beginning. I thought, boy, everybody will be glad to hear about this.
Did he tell you on what basis, when he originally said it,
he
made that statement? I mean, there must have been something that would make him say that.
Really, and that's what I've been trying to find out, and that's what the scientist from NASA has told me. We've contacted him, and he's going to do an analysis on it. There's only four laboratories in the world that can do isotope tests on chromium.
Right.
And this guy at NASA, Nyquist, I think his name is Dr. Nyquist,
yes,
said he was very much interested in it. And unfortunately, his person that ran the machines died.
Oh.
So they have to train somebody else. So I have to wait.
Okay. In the meantime, you said this thing was ejected or...
that's my theory.
Even fired toward you? I don't know what the word would be. What do you think the word would be? Did it seem like...
I think ejected. I don't think they were firing at me. If they have that much technology, I believe they could have hit me.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I wasn't a bit afraid until this thing came back at me.
So out of after the thing had disappeared into the other ship, this is when it ejected this?
Yes. At the same time that it went into the ship.
And so you looked up and you were watching a ship disappear into a ship, and you then saw something fiery headed toward you.
Yes.
Did you hear it hit the ground?
No. No. What happened? It hit on the other side of a little embankment. And that's, I think, what kept it from being buried into the ground. And that's a real fine, powdery sand there.
Uh-huh.
And I've been back out there and tried to find the location, and I think we have found it. Where this hit the groove, where it hit the hillside, and it slanted and went out, and I followed the groove in the ground, and I found it.
So it laid a path as it...
Yes, and it was still glowing hot.
Oh, it was hot when you found it.
Oh, yes. Oh,
okay, so what did you do? I mean, once the craft had finally disappeared and this thing was fired, you didn't know exactly where it was. What did you do, grab a flashlight or?
No, you could see. Yeah, I could see perfectly.
See, it was that close.
Yeah, well, not only that, but you're familiar with the high desert.
I am.
You get a clear sky at night like that, and you can see very well.
Absolutely. We have a line of sight out here that
right. People
from New York just couldn't grasp.
Yeah, you're right. Because that's what happened to me. But believe me, that was the furthest thing from my mind, even at the time that I saw it.
So when it hit then, there was enough of a glow, and it was just in front of you roughly where it hit. So you could just like walk right over to where it landed.
Right.
Uh-huh. So, all right, this thing obviously was really hot. I mean,
that
would be my assessment, really hot, molten hot.
Yes.
So did you just stand there and wait, or what did you do?
No, I went back to the car.
Yes.
And by the time I got back there, the girl, Jan was her name, was outside of the car screaming at me, you know, to get out of there. She said, before this thing comes back.
She had a good point.
And, well, I was stupid. My thought was, this is a secret project that our government is working on. I'm still trying to explain it with logic.
Okay.
And so I calmed her down, and I got her back in the car, and I could see that she was too nervous to drive. I took the keys out of the ignition to open the trunk, because it wasn't my car.
Right.
I wanted to see if there was anything in there that I could pick it up with.
Logic again, yes.
And she said, she laid down in the front seat, and she said, I can't drive. I said, I'll drive when I get back. I just want to check something out. So I went back to the trunk, and I took the keys because I didn't want her to drive off and leave me.
Right.
I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Right. She sounded like she was ready to head for New York City.
She was.
City,
you know? She really was.
Yeah.
So I got the trunk open, and I found one of these old brown work gloves. And it was all that was in there, besides my little suitcase.
Right.
Overnight case. And I walked back the thing. Now, this whole thing, get her calmed down and walked back, took about 35 minutes. And
uh-huh.
It had cooled down. And that, we found out later, this is the element gadolinium that causes it to retain cold.
Gadolinium?
Yes, gadolinium.
That causes it to retain what?
Cold.
Cold?
Yeah, it cools down immediately.
Oh, I see. So it's got a very fast cooling...
Yes. And I run the back of my hand over this thing, and I didn't feel any heat. It was no longer glowing. Uh-huh. And I just dropped the glove on top of it in case it was hot. I could drop it.
Uh-huh.
And I picked it up because I'm curious now. And I picked it up, and I took it back to the car and put it in my suitcase, closed the trunk, and then I drove on. And we drove a few minutes and got into a little town called Cisco, Utah.
Right.
And we found an all-night diner there, and it was really a small diner. And we went inside, and I wanted something to drink. That was my drinking days.
Uh-huh.
And she needed something to drink.
Gotcha.
But all they had was coffee. And it was really a small diner. I've been back out there since, and we have located the diner again in Cisco.
Uh-huh.
But it's been almost destroyed. Just the shell of the building is left standing.
What was this young lady's first name again?
Jan.
Jan. Jan is the, obviously, she's a witness for you.
Yeah, if I could find her.
Ah, so Jan's in the wind.
Well, she was actually from Minnesota. I remember that.
Well, we're on national radio right now.
Well, maybe she can hear, maybe she's hearing this. If she does, I hope she contacts me.
Out of curiosity, if she did and wanted to contact you, how would she do that?
At the Museum of the Unexplained. In Reed Spring, Missouri, and my phone number is 272.
No. Oh, no.
Okay.
Don't do that, Bob.
No?
You have no idea the mistake you were getting ready to make. You don't want to do that.
All right.
As long as we've got the location here, the Museum of the Unexplained in Reed Spring, Missouri.
Right.
That'll be sufficient. Or perhaps a website. I think friend Robert has a website,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do. It's www.hardevidence, one word, .com.
All right. Bob, hard evidence, that's a big claim, too. You think this is hard evidence of...
I know it is.
Of
extraterrestrial life. I'm thoroughly convinced.
Okay, you said earlier that at one moment, you had a thought that perhaps it could be our own military with something very advanced, right?
Absolutely.
What disabused you of that notion? Why are you saying now extraterrestrial? And what made you cross that bridge?
Many, many things. And the first thing that happened to me was when I sent it off to NIDS, I had someone call me back a few weeks later, and it took several weeks. And they said, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it is not extraterrestrial. And I said, I'm not disappointed. I didn't think it was extraterrestrial. Then when I took it to Los Alamos, and there were about 20 scientists down there to look at it, and only two of them would touch it.
And the others?
Wouldn't touch it. Wouldn't even touch it. And they videoed this. They videoed me inside Los Alamos. I've got all of this on, they gave me... later, I got a copy of the video with me inside Los Alamos.
Who took the video?
A guy named John Bass. He's in public relations, and they called him down there with a great big camera on his shoulder.
So you just, like, picked up the phone and called Los Alamos listen.
No, I didn't know what to do with it.
All right, I tell you, hold on,
right.
Bob. Stay right there. Remember, this could happen to you. This man had an encounter with two ships, which then virtually spit something or ejected something at him. And we've got a picture of that something on the website right now, coasttocoastam.com. And then that kind of changed his life in more ways than one. And we'll find out more about that in a moment. From the high desert, where indeed you can gaze out over a 40-mile vista. Can you imagine that? In the middle of the night, I'm Art Bell.